We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Walling.
You know, this woman is not traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Founder. Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
So I am so excited to get to have a conversation with Corey Miller, the founder of iThemes. He's a big WordCamp speaker. Just looking through, when I Googled you, there's like lists and lists of all of your WordCamp talks. And you're also the co-author of WordPress for Dummies. You founded a nonprofit. You're a super busy guy. When I was recently at Cabo Press, lots and lots of people were saying you have to connect with Corey Miller because you guys are talking about similar things and interested in similar things. And I think they're responding to some recent talks that you've given about depression, divorce, and sort of the real life nitty-gritty story of what it's like to be a founder and also have a real life. So I'm super excited to chat with you.
Me too. I mean, you're the professional. I'm the guy that's just sharing my war stories, I guess. But it's exciting when I heard about you and to be able to connect and just talk, because the things that I share aren't, I'm not a licensed trained professional like you are. And I'm just saying, here's my experiences, take from whatever truth you can that applies to you. But really, I'm just saying this is what works for me. But I'm really pumped to be able to talk with someone like you that has spoken to entrepreneurs and also gets it as an entrepreneur yourself and in a family of entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting to see the reception to this conversation. And this is like the first question I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, when I first started talking about this topic, whether it's mental health, anxiety, depression, divorce, conflict, emotions, you know, a sort of whole package of non-technical conversation. I was like warmly received and a little bit warily received, but I feel like that has changed over the course of the last several years. And people like yourself, my friend Greg Bagaz gave a talk at Business of Software about depression. I feel like the climate is maybe changing a little bit in that there's a little bit more openness, or maybe there's just so much hunger for conversations around sort of mental health, emotional well-being, life, wellness, those kinds of things. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, I think you hit it. It's the hunger. It's the need to lower the mask and actually reach out and say, I'm hurting. And I think there is something going on. I hope it's going on. It's time to erase the stigma of mental health and mental illness that really pervades and helps people, hinders people from getting help. And I think, you know, the hunger, and then, you know, in business, there's this some, I guess, unwritten stupid rule that says that we got to put up this facade and say everything's awesome and only share the good stuff, when in fact, most entrepreneurs I talk to, if they're honest, and most people, definitely from time to time, are wrestling and struggling with something below the surface. And I just decided I wanted to be a part of the solution. I didn't want to perpetuate this ridiculous kind of rule that we think as entrepreneurs, we can't talk about the bad stuff, that we have to put a press release version out of our life. And what's been so interesting, Sherry, is that every time I'm just vulnerable, and that goes back to Brené Brown's, you know, amazing work and stuff. But every time I just share a story that doesn't fit the press release mold, I get such reverb back. It was amazing last week or the week before when I was at WordCamp US talking about the iceberg, how many stories people share. Every single time I share my story, I get this response back of saying, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you did that. And they end up sharing their story. And I'm just like, there's so many people hurting, but hiding and hurting.
Yeah, I think the hiding is the second level trauma, right? The hurting is sort of the normative thing that we all deal with from time to time. But I think particularly in the entrepreneurial world, the hiding is so powerful and there's so much pressure to keep those vulnerabilities under wrap. But yet when someone like yourself gives permission, someone who's a leader in the WordPress community says, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna lead by example and give everybody else permission to be more authentic. It sounds like it has a really powerful impact.
Absolutely, you hit it on the head. I couldn't have described it that way, but giving people permission to open themselves up some. And my story started with my business group, really, here in Oklahoma City. There's now 9 of us, but at first there was just 8 of us, and meeting every month for the last 5 years for 3 hours each month. And it's all about above the surface and below the surface, the top 5% and the lowest 5%, where we share our lives together. And I think that gave me confidence to be able to share more of my own story.
How did that begin? I mean, how did the 8 of you, now 9 of you, have a conversation that said, let's go beyond business, let's really talk about the lower, muckier parts of ourselves and our lives?
It's such an unique organization. It's called Entrepreneurs Organization EO Network. You have to meet certain criteria to be in. It's a nonprofit, locally ran. There are, I think, upwards of 10 or 20,000 entrepreneurs in EO now, and across the world, by the way, meeting in forum groups. So typically, our chapter is about 70 people in Oklahoma, and there's, I think, 8 forum groups. And so 8 or 9 of people, men and women, entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, meeting every month like this. And it goes back to, I think, 30 years where a group of businessmen were meeting together. And one of the men that was in the group had committed suicide, and it shocked this entire group. They had just been, you know, together, I guess, the story goes, with their wives and spouses and all that. And then to find out that this guy was truly hurting and had committed suicide. And so the forum groups for EO came out of that. It's such an incredible thing. It's not something we created here in Oklahoma. It's this nonprofit, international nonprofit that has chapters all over the globe. But that the way they've set it up, where it's like, okay, hey guys, let's shed all the facade. Let's just talk about the highs and lows and make sure that we're on the same path together for each other. They don't call it a peer support group, but so many times it feels like a peer support group, and I've not seen anything like it elsewhere.
That sounds like a really incredible place to be able to be more open and honest than would normally happen in a business context.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like it.
Yeah. So the talk that you have given, or one of the talks you've given, is really kind of your story of the low points of your life in business over the last 10 years or so. And I wonder, just for, we'll put a link to the talk in the show notes, but for people who haven't heard that talk, if you would just maybe give a brief version of, you know, some of the things that you share that seem to connect so well with people who are seeking permission to be authentic.
Absolutely. So the story of all of this starts about 6 years ago, but if I'm really looking at the broad perspective, it probably started in like third grade, when after my parents had gotten divorced and we moved and relocated, and just feeling this overwhelming sense of loneliness and darkness. And, you know, that story goes way back, when I just remember feeling this ache. But really, the last 6 years, I went through a divorce 6 years ago, and professionally, my whole world was going awesome. It was just, I was on a high. I'd, like you said in the intro, been asked by my good friend Lisa Seven Wilson to co-author WordPress All-in-One for Dummies. I mean, huge goals. We hit some great revenue goals in the company, all this kind of stuff. But below the surface, I was going through a divorce. I had slept in my office at our office at iThemes a couple of nights. Most people that knew me did not know what was going on up until I filed for divorce. And so professionally on a high, personally on the low, the lowest low of my life. And it was a changing point for me. I went through a lot of stuff that year and knew I wanted to change myself. But the story is about just, I've been through therapy. I've been through just the grieving process, what all those things back 5, 6 years ago. But when I think about what happened back then, I realized it was just like an iceberg. I was showing the top of the surface stuff. That's the only thing I was revealing to anybody that cared about me or loved me. And people around me only saw that, because I'm very good at showing you just what I want you to see. I have a public relations background, communications background, and then I've also been perfecting this since I was a kid, showing you just the best, good, polished version of my life. Meanwhile, hiding all this stuff going on under the surface. So what I share is that it feels like life to me is two parts, above the surface, below the surface. And so many times we're good at sharing that success and all the good stuff, the above the surface stuff, while we're just hurting silently below. And so part of that year in 2010, 2011 was that I felt like I put myself in a self prison cell, that I didn't allow myself to reach out to the people that loved and cared for me and tell them what was going on in my life. I was prideful. I was embarrassed. I was afraid. And the iceberg kind of illustration feels like that's the way my life is every single day. There's stuff going on above the surface. It's awesome. The things I want to be thankful for, the successes. And then there's this below the surface stuff that not many, if anybody, knows about. And some that even goes really, really deep. That year, I walked into a counselor's office and through whatever, you know, you would know all these sharing about diagnostic, some kind of like battery of questions and tests. And he goes, you know, I think you're suffering from low-grade depression. And it kind of jolted me. But I just realized I was neglecting all these things. I was letting them fester and just, I mean, just really weigh me down, hurt me. And I wasn't seeking to share those to get help. I had found out, I realized I was at the end of myself. And so that's the story I share, is that life feels like an iceberg. For me, that year, I realized I needed a support team around me. I had so many people that loved and cared about me, but I wasn't reaching out to those people, insulating, accountability, making sure people looked into my life, could ask the hard questions. I have since now remarried, and of course, my wife, Lindsay, is my first partner in life, and she knows a lot of my, more than anyone, of my iceberg, I'm sure. But then I had that business group that now I rely on as just people that walk together. And so that's kind of the concept I shared, is the iceberg, and that we need to embrace the human experience, the full human experience. That's not to say we should share all the deep down dark secrets we have with everybody, but with a chosen few that we trust, the people that run into our lives instead of running out of our lives, those kind of people that love and care for us just who we are, that we embrace that human experience, that it's both parts, the above and the below surface. And I think that's a life that we can live more free. Every time I do that, every time I embrace the whole iceberg and I share with those select people, I feel like I live a freer, happier life and a more honest one. The person I looked in the mirror isn't that press release polished version. It's the real deal. It's what you see is what you get.
Sounds like there's tremendous freedom in that too, because you're not trying to outrun what's underneath. That you can look in the mirror, you can look in the faces of the people that you love and care about, and know that like all of you is accepted and all of you is cared about. That it's not just the flashy, shiny, very successful Corey that people want to see or care about.
Oh, yeah. It strikes people every time I tell them all these good things were happening that year that a lot of people around me saw, but that they didn't realize all this stuff going below. And they're just like, there's both parts of this, that what that honesty, that authenticity of somebody asked me to, Sherry, at WordCamp US, he goes, hey, I read your blog and you talk about the ups and downs a lot. He goes, how's it going now? And I go, up and down. Up and down. Maybe not to the extremes they were 5-6 years ago, but it's always a struggle. I told people quite often, there's probably not a single day in my life I don't wake up and feel insecure about something about myself or my situation. There's something that, you know, I don't go a day without having some kind of fear, some kind of guilt, that whole wrestle with that human experience. And I think I determined I crossed this line where I all my life tried to be the perfect kid, the perfect leader, the perfect whatever it was. I wanted to be perfect. I finally gave up on that and said, no, people I want in my life should embrace me as me. I shouldn't have to put a mask on. I don't want to be around people that require a mask or a costume to be in their lives. If they don't accept me for who I am, and vice versa, by the way, then we shouldn't be in each other's lives. And that has so tremendously released me to just embrace me.
Yeah, it sounds like it opens up the capacity for deeper relationship with other people, but also a deeper relationship with yourself. And I think that's one of the things that maybe we could talk a little more about. I feel like a lot of the founders that I work with are so good at functioning that they are, even in their own quiet moments when they're falling asleep at night, really have fairly limited insight into what's underneath the surface of their own iceberg, so to speak. So I feel like I talk a lot with people about self-observation and self-reflection and just noticing your own emotional life, your own thought life, which I think is maybe not a skill that is well cultivated in folks who are, you know, have this very public presentation and who are, you know, running businesses and responsible for the well-being of other people's lives. There's such an external focus that the internal is not always well developed.
I talk quite often, and you and Rob know this better than anyone, but entrepreneurship is often the most toughest, most lonely job on the planet. No one, my parents are not entrepreneurs. They don't understand what it's like. They can try to sympathize and empathize with me, but they don't understand. Now, my two grandparents, my grandfathers were entrepreneurs. They understood what it's like to try to meet payroll, to wonder if the recession is going to ruin and bankrupt them. The entrepreneurs are the special breed of people that, we're managers, we're leaders, we're the people that worry about the money, we're the people that take to heart the criticism from customers and clients that we get. And it's just, I think it can be one of the most lonely places because truly no one understands. I mean, a big part of our population are not in this role that we are, but I don't think it has to be the most loneliest job in the world. I think it is one of the toughest ones I've for sure ever had. But, like you said, there's this awareness factor of it. I've always been kind of default at this awareness thing, every little personality assessment tool, strength tool. I'm always about that, trying to explore the depths of who I am and understand myself better. But you're right. I think we get caught up in the work and what we're doing. And then I've seen so many, as you have too, I'm sure, burned out entrepreneurs. They haven't taken a vacation in years. They've got so much anger and frustration inside of them because of whatever their situation is, and they don't have a good way to release that. They don't have someone to talk to. A couple years ago when I named our chief operating officer, Matt Danner, I tell people he's part of my support team. He is my sidekick. Entrepreneurs, especially solo founders and solopreneurs, typically don't have sidekicks. They may have a supportive spouse and family and things like that, maybe even a team, but a sidekick to say, we're not alone in this. There's so many times where I've had to make decisions and I remember reading an article in Inc. or something that said the psychological price of entrepreneurship. There is a toll to be had being an entrepreneur, as tough as it is. Now, it's the most amazing job I've ever had in my life, but it also is a fairly tough one.
Yeah, and I think that's some of the shared message that you and I really are aligned about, is that it is going to be hard. There's no way to sort of sugarcoat that or deny it, or it's just the nature of what it is. But it doesn't have to be so hard, right? It doesn't have to be burnout. It doesn't have to be depression and isolation and loneliness and divorce. Like, it doesn't have to be that. So now that you have sort of begun this public conversation and sounds like people are responding well, like, what are your hopes for how the community, the WordPress community particularly, is what you are well known in and a member of? How will the community change or adapt, or what would you like to see happen as a result of this sort of shift in consciousness that you're pursuing?
Oh gosh, I believe, Sherry, this is a mandate of my life now. This is part of my purpose in life, is to continue to share the story, my story, to see change. 2 years ago, when I first started sharing publicly about what had happened 5-6 years ago, and being really honest, it was amazing. It was supposed to be a 45-minute talk, and I ended about 20 minutes, and I was crying on stage and all this stuff, and it's time for the Q&A, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to go find a corner and crawl in. And the Q&A time, people came up not to ask questions, but to tell their stories. And it was this big, huge, I don't want to say therapy session, but support session, where people were just coming up kind of crying, going, here's what happened to me. Here's what I'm going through. That's the kind of stuff I like, where people feel empowered, emboldened to seek, to share the story and seek help. And I am a huge advocate of professionally licensed, trained counselors like yourself. And I share that quite openly. I want to erase the stigma about mental health. I want to empower the suffering, silent people out there, the people that suffer in silence. I want to empower them to seek help, to seek support. And I just want that ripple effect to go. No matter if anybody ever remembers me, I want that ripple effect to continue. And so, same thing, just that resonating reverb. I've shared my story to a number of friends, obviously, and now they've been empowered in the right moment in time to share their own story. And that's this ripple effect, where I think we can make huge change in the world, live freer lives, if we keep continuing to ring that bell and share that message.
How has being public in this conversation changed you?
I tell people, I go, I'm not sharing my story for you to say, oh, I'm so sorry you went through that. I go, I have resolved those things in my heart and my mind. I have went through the time to heal and things. I'm not sharing that for therapeutic reasons. I'm sharing it because I want to make a difference. And so after I shared it the first time, I realized that I had crossed this line and realized I can't go back. I can't look it back in my life and not have used the time that I have to share this particular story. It is perhaps the most impactful thing I've ever done in my life. And so now I'm just out there. Now I've crossed it. I'm out. I'm in the light. I can't go back into the shadows. And I've just kind of embraced it. And that's changed me in the sense of I'm never going to go back. I'm only going to push forward with this. Continued every chance I get. My mom asked me last night, and she goes, so when you go to more work camps, what will you talk about, or any other conference or whatever setting? And I said, well, my first preference will always be to share the iceberg and my own stories. That will be my first thing. Other than that, then I'll share other experiences in my life. But this has had the most impact of anything I've ever done in my life, professionally for sure, but personally. And I'll just continue to do that. So I'm out. It's changed me. I'm out here. There's no, the bridges are burned. You know, I was sitting in the last talk at WordCamp US. I told people, I go, I have strategic partners in this room. I have customers in this room. I had to weigh the cost benefit of sharing my story, but I'm well past that. I go, if they don't respect and realize what the goal of this is, then that's a good sign. But no, they're quite opposite. They're embracing me continuing to share the message. But, you know, I have to weigh the cost benefit. Of course, you know this. I don't share every single detail. I share select details of that I think will resonate and help really get the message across.
Yeah, I think there's wisdom to that. Not because you're hiding, but because there's discernment about what parts of you are maybe precious enough to just be kept for you, or for you and your wife, yep, or for you or your inner, yep, circle. I mean, I think, you know, in some ways I do some graduate level teaching, and a lot of the classes that I teach are about trauma, or, you know, these really heavy topics. And I always sort of say to people, you own the privilege. Like, you get to decide for yourself what trinkets of yourself you want to give to others, and what parts of yourself that need to be kept just for you. So I like that distinction of, it's not about going all out there. It's about being very strategic about what is most helpful to the community and what is most important for you to share in terms of, like, your own integrity. And then also what needs, you know, what parts of you get to be kept secret. So, or maybe not secret, but what parts of you get to be kept in private. Yeah.
Yes. And protected.
Yes. Protected is a perfect word. Yeah.
My kind of question for you would be, as a professionally trained, educated psychologist, is why don't people share? Now, there's a distinction we made, is that it needs to be with somebody you can trust, that, you know, when you open it up, and it's got to be carefully considered what you share to certain people. But I started trying to ask myself, why don't we share? Why don't we open up? And the kimono, so to speak, and say, I'm hurting. You know, I think about those 6 months, I was in misery, and I wasn't sharing with the people that loved me most. I'm curious your thoughts on that. What keeps us from sharing that below the surface stuff of the iceberg?
I think quite simply it's fear. You know, there's so much to be afraid of, especially when we're already hurt. I think the irony is that the more hurt we are, the more difficult it is to share. Because the more fragile we feel, and the more we have to lose, really. Like, I think that, yes, that sort of that image of an animal who's in pain, who goes and sort of crawls under the deck of the house, and you want to help them, but you can't get to them because they're self-protective. All of our self-protective instincts come up viciously when we're already hurt. And I think the problem is, if we don't already have well-cultivated relationships that foster vulnerability, that allow for intimacy, that allow for some warts and all acceptance, then it's when we're hurt that those are most difficult to cultivate. They're most difficult. It's most difficult to start then.
That is it. Nailed it. I think my own human experience would be absolutely, when you're talking about that dog going under the, still hurting, wanting to retreat more and more because you're afraid to keep getting hurt. That is absolutely it. I thought about it, like you said, as self-protection, as self-defense. So when I share vulnerably to others, I feel like I'm on the offensive. you know? And that's the way it's helped me a little bit, is to go, I'm going to choose to share this. You could try to dig this up about my life, but if I share it, I feel like I'm in less of a defensive, fearful posture, I guess, so to speak. But I think, God, thank you. That is fantastic. That is the human experience right there.
And I think what you're describing about how you decide to share is that the way that you're sharing brings a sense of empowerment, or the stories aren't being sort of sucked from you, right? The secrets aren't being revealed against your will. The secrets are chosen by you. And I think that's a really important piece of this process, that when people decide to be vulnerable, that's incredibly empowering because you are deciding. Nobody pulls things from you. You always have the choice and control about what parts of you you let other people see.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me sidetrack us.
Yeah.
That was so good, though. That's the message, I think, too, that needs to get out, is that reminder. You painted the picture so perfectly and raw and beautifully, is that we're hurting like that. Whatever that pain is, we seek shelter, not to open up. And that's a good warning for me, a reminder to me, is to say, I've got to go out and seek help. There's a point that there becomes the end to me where I can be self-sufficient and do all these things and feel like I can just take on the world by myself, but that I need other people to help me. Like you said, those genuine relationships you're investing in.
I think if I could put in a little mini plug for my own field here, like, it's when you are, you know, in a bloody mess under the porch that is when a therapist is helpful, because yep. You don't have to build a relationship in the same mutual way that you do if you are cultivating a friendship or growing, you know, intimacy with your partner. I mean, a therapist can sort of come in at the most vulnerable time and be a helpful relationship without you needing to do or provide or reciprocate anything.
See, this is Sherry. This is the part I get to brag on your profession, because I'm not in your profession, and I get to say you should go listen to your podcast when you talked about the time and circumstances to talk to a therapist. I share quite openly that I have no problems going to see my counselor's name is Kyle. And 4 times a year, I get to say, I put on my calendar as a reminder that I'm going to go in and do a check, a mental health check. And I'm due, by the way, for that. The reason why I interrupted you, I never do this, is because I want to brag on your profession and say that talking to a counselor has been one of the most amazingly helpful things in my life. And the reason why, Sherry, for me, is that at Thanksgiving, when I say pass the cranberry, I'm not looking at somebody that knows all the stuff and baggage that I brought to that. I've got a professional relationship with a counselor where I can dump my baggage and I don't have to see him at Thanksgiving and ask him to pass the cranberries. And working on myself through a counselor, first and foremost, has been one of the most amazingly helpful, freeing things in my entire life. And I want to just stamp that. And I'm so rude and I interrupted you, but I felt like I can help share that story too.
Fabulous. You said it better than me.
No.
My own imposter syndrome keeps me from saying it that strong.
There's such this terrible, terrible stigma about going to see a counselor and therapy. And, you know, I don't tell every single person in my life that I go see a counselor. However, when that subject comes up, I do it openly just because I want to say it's okay. And, you know, especially males I've been around have this ego pride, whatever it is, about doing it. And I just go, you know, I go 4 times a year and then in between when we need help, and it's okay. It's okay for me to ask for help. And I can, and I've seen the counselor several times in my life. And back then, back 5, 6 years ago, when I walked into Kyle's office for the first time, I desperately needed him, just like you said. And he helped coach me out of that underneath the deck, bleeding kind of thing, and helped me on the path. And I know that it's just so incredible to have somebody, because, you know, not everything I want to dump on every single relationship I have, but I know I can save that really, really low, like, bottom of the iceberg stuff in that and not be judged, and, you know, and be able to walk out and go, this is a professional. He knows the difference. He's helping me think through these things, and it's been incredibly freeing. So I hope everybody listening to this podcast will. And again, I'm not a licensed trained counselor, but my experience in life has been that my life has been better as a result of counseling.
Well, thanks for saying that. And I think that's really important for people to hear. Again, this sort of sense of permission, get the help you need, have the conversations you need to have, that nobody has to be hurting in silence or hurting alone. So I'm excited to see where the mandate will take you from here. It sounds like some more talks and conversation are in your future. But again, I just really, as the professional, so to speak, I really appreciate you coming to this point in your life where you decided to be more open and vulnerable about your story, because I think you are creating freedom for people and allowing people to feel empowered enough to own their own stuff, to look underneath the surface and to let other people see them as they are. And that is an incredible gift to the community, and it's an incredible gift to anybody that you bump up against. So I'm super glad that now we've met and now we're connected, and I can't wait to see what happens for you and for your community moving forward.
Absolutely. I appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.